This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I'm delighted to be with you today. I certainly am. It is the day the Lord has made. And what are we to do? Well, we are to be glad in it, to rejoice and be glad in it. That is our call. That is our mission each and every day of our lives. And every once in a while, we have a great deal to be grateful for to God. Every time we take a breath, we ought to be grateful, right? But some days seem to be specially wrapped and specially packaged for us to really give thanks to God and really to proclaim His good news and to proclaim His praises. And today's a day like that. Today is the 98th anniversary of Mother Angelica's birth, right? We know that she went home to be with the Lord in 2016, but here we are all of these years later, still marveling about this woman that God raised up for such a time as this. And if you ask me, this is great cause for rejoicing. This is great cause for celebration. This is great cause for thanksgiving. So much good has been accomplished through Mother Angelica's fiat, her yes to the Lord. We're constantly reminded here at EWTN that her prayers and her intercession continues for us as we continue her mission. We see it every day. We see it in all kinds of marvelous ways. And we simply need to allow ourselves to enter into that grace that God has in mind for each one of us to receive in our own lives through His work in us, through the fiat that we give to Him. And then it becomes for us a great cause of celebration each and every day of our lives. I want to tell you a little bit about Mother Angelica, but before I do that, I want to share with you that it's a special program today. I'm going to be dipping into a beautiful book that has just come out. It is a book that offers us opportunity to enter into holy reflection with Mother via the means of a holy hour. It is chock full of all kinds of insights of Mother's, prayers of Mother's, beautiful ways in which we can begin to reflect upon the grace that is always there for us in the present moment. So I thought I would reach in there and pull out a few little nuggets for you just to share a little bit about this book, which happens to be available for you, of course, at EWTN's Religious Catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. I like to call it the home of holy reminders. So we want to encourage you to get out there and to get a copy for yourself, because I think that it really will enhance your time before the Lord and allow you to perhaps think about what's going on in the world today and the various kinds of things that are going on specifically in your world, to be able to look at them, reflect upon them, and gain a new insight, gain a new light. And I'm hoping that some of the passages that I've pulled out to share with you today will offer you that opportunity, even as we make our time together through our program on this beautiful day that God has entrusted to us. So we're going to be doing that today, so no phone calls, please. But I also want to let you know that we at Women of Grace are offering you another book study. These book studies have become so popular. We've had so many people that have signed up for them in the past. It lets us know that we're meeting a need through them. And I am so very excited about this upcoming book study. I'm always excited about them because we select books that we know can have a tremendous impact in your life. But here we are, and we're in this year of St. Joseph. And this beautiful book that we're going to be exploring together is one written by a dear friend of mine, Mike Aquilina, whom I've known for many, many years. He is a prolific writer. He's written over 50 books, and I must tell you, I've interviewed him on numbers of them. This one is very special. The interesting story behind this book, however, was that he had no idea that this particular year would be dedicated to St. Joseph by our Holy Father, Pope Francis. And this book actually came out on the same day as Pope Francis made the announcement that 2021 would be a year dedicated to St. Joseph. Now, if that's not providential, I don't know what is. I mean, you know, you look at these things and you say, Lord, you are just too good. So what a beautiful affirmation for Mike Aquilina, and what a beautiful affirmation for us, I think, as we journey into this book with Sue Brinkman, who will be leading this particular study. It's called St. Joseph and His World. And I interviewed Mike on this book. We had a webinar just a couple of weeks ago that is kind of a kickoff webinar. When you sign up for the book study, you'll have opportunity to view that webinar as well. But, you know, I'll tell you, it's just an amazing book, an amazing, amazing book. So if you love St. Joseph, you're going to want to sign up for this book study. All of the information is available for you out there at our website, womenofgrace.com. Just go out there. It's featured in our slideshow, and it's also listed for you there on you know, underneath our upcoming events on the homepage. It's going to begin May 3rd. It's going to begin May 3rd. It's going to take place Monday evenings, May 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th, 31st, June 7th, June 14th, and June 21st. Now, if you say, oh my goodness, I can't commit to all of that, I don't want you to worry about it. You'll get a playback link for every one of these beautiful book study opportunities, and you'll be able to catch up with everybody else, and you'll be able to watch it at your leisure, and you'll be able to dip into it, you know, as your time permits. But it will be held on these Monday evenings beginning May 3rd from 7:30 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. There'll be time for interaction. These are beautiful, beautiful ways in which we can grow in our faith as a community, you know, a virtual community, yes, indeed, but nonetheless, a community coming together. And we've been using these virtual means for so long now, all of us together in varieties of ways, that I think we're all pretty comfortable, and we find that it's not an obstruction to what it is that we can gain through each other's experiences. It's not an obstruction to fellowship. It's not an obstruction to God's work. So I don't want you to miss anything. You know, I want you to take full advantage of every opportunity. And this is going to be a beautiful, beautiful way for you to get to know St. Joseph better, to see him in light of the world in which he occupied, how that world affected him, how it affected the Holy Family, and, you know, what were the trials and the tribulations, but also what were the joys, and, you know, what does it tell us and reveal to us about the way in which the Holy Family conducted their everyday lives? These are some of the things that you're going to discover through this beautiful book study. And when you sign up, of course, the book comes with your sign up, and we just want you to take advantage of it. All of the information is out there for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. It's in the slideshow. It's also listed, as I mentioned, under the events on the homepage. Click on either place, and it's going to take you to a landing page that gives you all of the information that is necessary for you. So I certainly do hope that you will indeed join us for this beautiful, beautiful opportunity. Now, before we get too deep into the show, you know, as I mentioned to you, we're going to be talking about Mother Angelica today. It is her 98th day of birth, right? Or 98th, not day of birth, but 98th anniversary of her day of birth. And we're going to be dipping into this beautiful book, which is available for you at EWTN's Religious Catalog, A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica. So I'm thinking that many of you know Mother Angelica, know of her, but in the event that you have never listened to EWTN radio in the past, you know, or you haven't seen EWTN television, I want to tell you a little bit about her. And we're going to be doing all of that after the break, but no. You know that Mother was born on April the 20th in 1923. She was born Rita Antoinette Rizzo in Canton, Ohio. She had a very difficult childhood, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that and how, in some ways, perhaps that shaped her and formed her so that her heart could open wide to the things of God, that she might be one who broadcasts the Word of God to all of us. We're going to be right back, inviting you to stay with us. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. Just want to share with you that we're not taking any phone calls today, but we are going to spend this day reflecting upon Mother Angelica. This would have been her 98th birthday. Indeed, what a marvelous, marvelous way to spend this day reflecting on this woman who has done so much for our spiritual lives, who has helped for us to enter more deeply into the mysteries of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and into the mysteries of our faith. And we cannot take any of this for granted. As I mentioned to you in the first beginning moments of the program today, I do believe that Mother was raised up by God for such a time as this. And everything that she offered us and continues to offer us through her prayerful intercession through EWTN is meant to lead us along this beautiful journey that will take us to divine life itself. And so I thought we would just dip into this new book that is available for you at EWTN's Religious Catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. It's called A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica. It is Mother Angelica's own words. So she, of course, is the author of it, if you will. But two beautiful women have edited it, and that is Mary Claire Kendall and Taylor Wilson. And they certainly have pulled nuggets out of all of the beautiful broadcasts of Mother's and some of Mother's own personal writings to present this marvelous book that will lead us into a deep relationship with our Lord as we sit before Him in the Blessed Sacrament. And you know, even if we can't get before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, we certainly can make a holy hour with our Lord. If we are in a state of grace, we are occupied, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and we can retreat into the interiority of our own being, into our hearts, and we can envision there the Blessed Sacrament upon the altar of our heart. And we can sit there and just gaze at Him. And we can enter into this time of reflection, this time of prayer, this time of deepening relationship. So I shared with you right before the break there that Mother Angelica's given name is Rita Antoinette Rizzo. She was born in Canton, Ohio in 1923 on this day. Mother Angelica had a very difficult childhood. She had a very abusive father. He eventually abandoned the family, and she was raised by her mother. But her mother was also a troubled woman. She suffered from suicidal depression. And so there was little Rita growing up in this household where the nuclear family was not intact, and the parent that she had was a parent who oftentimes was deeply dysfunctional. She also grew up during the Great Depression. And for any of you that have family members that grew up during that time, you might know that it was a very difficult time for people to be raised. Food was uncertain. Income was uncertain. The very basic of needs were uncertain. And this kind of worry and concern pressed down upon children who could not escape the reality of what they were living through. And so for Rita Rizzo, whom we know as Mother Angelica, she was in a certain way robbed of her childhood by the poverty that came by way of the Great Depression, as well as the stigma that was attached to a child of divorced parents in those days. Divorce wasn't common, and when there was divorce in the family, children were often nearly shunned by members of their own age group, but also by adults as well. Her cousins would later say of Mother Angelica that she was an adult all her life, that she never had a childhood. And that's deeply regrettable. However, you know, this Lord never abandons us. He never leaves us orphaned. And such was the case with Mother. Even at a very young age, it seemed as though our Lord was showering her with His favor, with His grace. And I'll give you a good example of that. When she was only 11 years old, she was crossing the street, and she was nearly struck by a car, but was mysteriously lifted to safety by an unseen force. The driver of that car was absolutely held in amazement by what he beheld, and he later described it as miraculous. Mother Angelica herself said she just felt like she was lifted up and put to safety and didn't quite know how she had gotten there. However, travail followed Mother Angelica, and as a young woman, she developed a very painful stomach ailment. Doctors dismissed it as a nervous condition, and she experienced absolutely no relief until she met a stigmatic by the name of Rhoda Wise, and she and Rhoda Wise developed a relationship. Rhoda Wise was known to have a gift of healing, and Mother Angelica visited her, and relief came to her for that stomach ailment. After she graduated from high school in 1941, Mother Angelica worked at the Timken Roller Bearing Company. But on her way home, this one who already had a deep relationship with the Lord would stop at her parish church, and she would pray the Stations of the Cross every evening. And it was on one of those occasions that she heard the Lord calling her, and asking her to be his bride, inviting her to enter into a convent. She shared this with her mother. Her mother was very, very unhappy about this. Her mother actually forbade her from joining a religious order, but even that extreme opposition couldn't stop Mother Angelica. Nope, she was going to serve the Lord, and she did. She entered a cloistered contemplative order, the Poor Clares of the Perpetual Adoration in Cleveland, Ohio, on the Feast of the Assumption, August 15th in 1944, and her name became Sister Mary Angelica of the Annunciation. Isn't that beautiful? So, as I mentioned to you, though, Mother's life was marked by suffering. She suffered all of that terrible dysfunction as a child. She suffered that stomach ailment as she grew into her young adult years. And she would experience great suffering yet again after she entered the cloister. So one day she was scrubbing the monastery floor with an electric scrubbing machine, and she lost her balance and fell to the ground. The machine flung her against the wall with such force that Mother Angelica suffered an injury to the spine, which was very, very serious and required hospitalization, and placed her in a body cast. She was in traction for 6 weeks. It didn't work, and the only option became surgery. Mother Angelica was very concerned about the surgery. She was worried about it and, frankly, frightened by it. And I think that we can well understand that. If the surgery didn't go well, she would end up paralyzed for the rest of her life. So Mother Angelica, who knew the Lord and loved the Lord, was basically going to go to the one who always met her at every crossroad of her life. And so the night before her operation, Mother Angelica made her now famous promise to the Lord. And she said, "Please, Lord Jesus, if you allow me to walk again, I will build a monastery for your glory, and I will build it in the south." Well, after 4 months of hospitalization, Mother Angelica was released from the hospital, and she was able to walk with the assistance of braces and crutches. She was determined to keep her promise to the one who kept his promise to her. So she set about acquiring all of the necessary permissions to establish a new monastery, and she raised funds so that she could actually go and make a success in the South with a cloistered order. And the way in which she did this is amazing. She did it by making and selling fishing lures. And she was able to earn enough money through that venture that on May 20th, 1962, she and four other sisters established Our Lady of the Angels Monastery in Irondale, Alabama. And that is the home of EWTN and remains the home of EWTN. But can't you even see in that, you know, can't you even see Mother Angelica's spunk? She makes a promise to the Lord. She makes good on her promise. And she finds a way to get there in an entrepreneurial fashion, right? She's making fishing lures. Now, when they got to the South, the sisters survived on the revenue from another of Sister Angelica's, now Mother Angelica's, ventures called the Lil Old Peanut Company. And over the next decade, for 10 years, she would also write books and give talks, and she would do it all on crutches and an artificial hip. Really, really outstanding. But Mother was indefatigable. She just could not be beaten down. She was like that, you know, punching bag that's filled with sand on the bottom, you know, and you give a wallop to that punching bag, and what happens? It bounces right back up again. And that's the story of Mother Angelica's life, even in her years of confinement through the stroke. Mother continued. Her journey to the Lord and her steadfast dedication to that which he had entrusted to her through EWTN. And she offered all of her suffering for the sake of the network that today is the largest religious broadcasting network in the world. Well, in 1978, her life was altered when she was introduced to a TV studio in Chicago. And this is the backstory to EWTN. She got the bug. She had to have one of these things of her own. The network started in a garage behind the monastery, which was converted into a television studio. It became the Eternal Word Television Network and began airing on August 15th, 1981, via satellite to cable companies and home satellite dishes. And isn't that beautiful? Because that was also the anniversary date, of course, of her becoming a religious sister. Marked by her total reliance on divine providence, you might well remember that Mother weathered many a feud with U.S. bishops and defied incredible odds to build this Catholic communications empire devoted to the magisterium of the Church. EWTN is now the largest religious media network in the world, transmitting 24-hour-a-day programming. In addition to that, you're listening to EWTN Radio, which is transmitted throughout the world through a variety of outlets. Mother did all of this on pure faith. She didn't even have the collateral to build that initial studio, but was able to gain the confidence of a banker who loaned her the money without collateral. I mean, can you imagine such a thing? When you say that God opened doors for Mother Angelica, He opened enormous, colossal doors, and Mother waltzed right through them. She never, ever, ever did not pass through a door that the Lord opened up. Sometimes she thought the Lord was opening up a door, and it was not really a door He was opening up, and she would quickly retreat and move on. And she did it because she trusted in God. She once told Raymond Arroyo, who is her official biographer, "You know what faith is? Faith is 1 foot on the ground, 1 foot in the air, and a queasy feeling in the stomach." That's a good thing for us to remember, isn't it? That faith is 1 foot on the ground, 1 foot in the air, and a queasy feeling in the stomach. You never have that absolute assurance because God wants you to exercise faith. If you have absolute assurance, well, you don't need faith. You don't need hope. You don't need trust. It's a sure thing. God rewarded Mother Angelica's faith in a remarkable way. And in 1998, when after 40 years of hobbling on crutches, she was healed of her spinal injuries after being prayed over by an Italian mystic. She was thrilled to be able to walk without crutches, but the triumph was short-lived. In 2001, she suffered a serious stroke that eventually forced her to leave active ministry at EWTN. But as I mentioned to you, in all of her years of confinement, Mother Angelica soldiered on. And we at EWTN know that it was the result of that prayerful intercession and the offering up of her sufferings in union with Christ for the sake of the network that the network exponentially grew during those years of confinement. And we know that Mother is still praying and interceding for the network. And her presence, her spirit is felt every day at EWTN. So it's a beautiful, beautiful testimony to what happens when we give fiat to God, when we say yes to Him, when without equivocation, we are willing to do exactly as He tells us to do. Mother Angelica, a most remarkable woman, offering us a most remarkable example. And as I shared with you, we are blessed because in addition to still being able to see Mother Angelica on television, we have the opportunity to hear Mother Angelica on EWTN radio as well. And we know that Mother Angelica's words, because they are truth, continue to have meaning, continue to have value, continue to have impact in our day and time. Additionally, EWTN Publishing has published numbers of books taking the wisdom of Mother Angelica and packaging it in these books and delivering it to us in bite-sized chunks that we can consume on a daily basis and grow in our own faith and trust in God through her witness and through her example. And one of the books that I want to share with you is a brand new one. It's a holy hour with Mother Angelica. And as I've been sharing with you, these are nuggets, you know, that were taken out of her broadcasts, that were taken out of her writings and compiled in this beautiful book that helps for us to make a holy hour with our Lord through the reflections that she offers to us. I'd like to offer you just one reflection now, and we'll be giving you more reflections as we make our way through the rest of the program. But, you know, when we open our heart and our mind to the Lord, we are sitting in an attitude of receptivity, sitting in an attitude of trust, sitting in an attitude of surrender. And even as I read some of these reflections to you, you know, I would hope that you would ascribe to those three hallmarks of a soul that is deeply seeking the voice of God, deeply surrendering to the moment of grace that he's offering us. And this is meant to be a moment of grace for you. So it doesn't matter where you are or what you're about, you know, as long as you're opening your heart to the Lord, he will fill it. And I promise you that you will be blessed by what you hear. That blessing may not appear right at the time of the reading, but it will work in you because it is a seed. It is a seed that God is planting, and it's a seed that's meant for you to hear, and it's a seed that's meant to change your life. It's meant to communicate something of God's love for you, to you. And so it seems appropriate that one of the very first offerings that I'll give to you, or the very first offering that I'll give to you, comes from chapter 16 of this book, A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica, and it's the parable of the sower. And Mother Angelica says this. She says, "When I was a young sister, I would sometimes open up the scriptures." You know how you do this, too. Sometimes you open up the scriptures and see if the Lord has a word for you. Well, many times you get kind of a blank page. But I would say about 80% of the time, I would open up to the same parable. And that is the one of the sower who went out to sow a seed. I just drained the thing dry. At least I thought I did. It got to the point where I would meditate on the periods and commas. And then it got a little aggravating. After a while, I'd say, "Lord, what are you trying to tell me?" It was just over my head. When we come back from the break, we'll continue with this meditation, and you'll see how the Lord spoke a very special word to her about that parable through a cardinal of the church. More coming up for you after the break. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Stay with us. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, and today we're talking about Mother Angelica. Today is the 98th anniversary of her birth. Yes, indeed. Mother Angelica would have been 98 years old today. And so it is that we're talking about her life. We're sharing a little bit about the way in which she started EWTN television and radio and this tremendous media empire that she built up. The way God graced her because of her fiat. And we're dipping into a book that was written recently. It's actually our book of the month, A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica, which is a compilation of various teachings that she gave, insights, reflections, and prayers that will help for you to make a beautiful holy hour, will help for you to enter into a deeper relationship with our Lord, and I think will encourage you in your walk of faith, and it will inspire you to consider to continue to move forward, even in the most trying of times. And I was sharing with you a little bit about the reflection is for chapter 16 in the book. It's on the parable of the sower. And I shared with you that Mother opens up by saying that when she was a young sister, she would just open up sacred scripture and see where the Lord would lead her and see if there was a word for her in the midst of a passage that she would read on a given page. And she talks about the fact that about 80% of the time she would open up to the same parable, and it was the one on the sower and the seed. And she said that, you know, she drained the thing dry. She says it got to the point where she would meditate on the periods and commas, which I think is hysterical. And then she says it got a little aggravating. After a while, she says, I'd say, "Lord, what are you trying to tell me? It was just over my head." So Mother continues and says, "So I went to see Cardinal Manning one day in Los Angeles, and we chit-chatted about the network. It must have been about," she says, at the time of this writing, about 3 years ago. She said, "I was walking out, and he had his hand on the doorknob, and he stopped and turned around to me. He said, 'Remember the parable of the sower and the seed?' And I thought, 'Oh, yes.' He said, Do you know what the sower did? I said, well, he sowed his seed. The cardinal replied, he broadcast his seed. He broadcast his seed. And then he said, that's what God wants you to do. Broadcast the word. Isn't that amazing? A beautiful confirmation from Mother Angelica. Here she had been meditating upon this particular parable for many years and never perhaps saw that one word broadcast. Or if she did see it, didn't take it in light of the mission that God had entrusted to her. And so she then reflects on it and she says this, so what is God saying? Well, I think there are many things here in the Word of God that we could look at. The Word of God is sown in your heart, in your field. Your field is your soul, your mind, your intellect. It is sown every day, every moment of the day, by events, by people. But most of all, it is sown when you read the Word of God. And don't worry if you can't memorize the Word or you do not remember after you have read. If you have planted it in your memory, the Spirit will bring it out when you need it. It's up to you to sow the seed. That's why it is so necessary to read the Scriptures. The word that is in this Scripture must be sown by you in your own heart, in your own mind, by reading and by listening to the Gospel. And then remember that you, in turn, must broadcast that same word to your neighbor by example, by love, by compassion, by understanding. Talk about Jesus. Don't be afraid to talk about Jesus and Mary. You know, Mother says, there is going to come a day, my friends, when Jesus and Mary are all you've got. Those of you who are elderly, you know that already. You may have raised 9 children. They are all gone. Oh, they call you on Mother's Day and say, hi, Mom, I'm so grateful. Did you get my box of candy? What about the rest of the day and the rest of the year? Who do you have but Jesus? And that's the way it should be. There's no injustice done to you. God is preparing all of us for that marvelous day when we shall be very, very much alone. We call it death. It's a glorious day, really, because we will see then whether we have reaped 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold. We shall understand. Isn't that beautiful? You see how it is that Mother looks at the Word of God and is able to give it practical application in her own life and offer us a word about its practical application in our life. This is what it means to really pray Scripture, to have a passage of Scripture become a door that opens up for us. A door that opens up for us into the very heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, where we can sit and commune with Him, sharing with Him about our thoughts on the Word that is given to us, His Word given to us through sacred Scripture, but also listening very carefully to what it is that He wants to say to us. Mother Angelica did this throughout her life. And in this one reflection, we begin to get an example of it. And I don't know about you, but as I was reading those words to you, also hopefully receiving them into my heart, I asked myself the question, how well do I truly broadcast the Word of God? Now, I don't mean broadcast it through these electronic means. I mean broadcast it through the way in which Mother Angelica outlined. And what did Mother Angelica say? How did she tell us that we are to broadcast the Word of God? She says that we are to broadcast it to our neighbor. And how do we do that? She says, by example, by love, by compassion, by understanding. I don't know about you, but for me, that's a really good means of examination of conscience. To what extent do I broadcast the Word of God? By my example. To what extent do I do it through love? To what extent am I compassionate, truly compassionate, willing to sojourn with another as he or she makes her way through a trying time? Am I content just to feel the emotion of compassion? Or am I really willing to live compassion? The first requires very little, nothing. The latter requires a great deal, death to self. And I'm afraid all too often we can fall victim to feeling so good about the fact that we feel sorry for somebody that we retire our efforts upon the emotion and never follow through with what true compassion is, the gift of our presence, the gift of our own suffering for the sake of another, the gift of our very life if it's required of us. And the last way in which Mother challenges us to broadcast the word is by understanding. Do we really seek to understand? We live in a very polarized time, don't we? Do we truly seek to understand the other? Are we looking at our neighbor and saying, he deserves my generosity displayed through understanding? And this is especially applicable to those who ridicule us, mock us, revile us, those who disagree with us on the very fundamentals of the gift of life that God's given to us. We should ask ourselves, what could lead a person to such a twisted view of who God is, who man is, what the world is, what our sin is, what our trouble is, what our travail is? And that should lead us to something more. It should lead us to prayer. Prayer for that person, but also prayerful reparation for the sins and offenses that are committed by others against God. That reparation consoles the heart of God. So, you know, in this word, there's much, much that should lead us to a deep reflection upon matters that are more important than anything else. Matters that really begin to mark our path to eternal life. So I think that you can see how beautifully stated these reflections are in Mother's own voice with her own sense of humor, but also with the depth and perception that comes by way of a life well lived, a life that in and of itself demonstrates the three theological virtues of faith, of hope, of charity. Here's another one that struck me that I thought might strike you as well. It's found in chapter 6 of this book, A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica. Let me remind you, it is available for you at EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. And this one in chapter 6, the title is An Hour of Healing. Mother writes, or says, it's given to us in the written word, there are all kinds of healing. I sometimes wonder if we are aware that you and I are healers. Oh, I do not mean in the sense we're going to heal somebody from cancer, although we can do that too. But I mean in the sense of healing our neighbor constantly. Your life of love and sacrifice and patient understanding is a healing power for your neighbor. Isn't that interesting? I didn't link that to the reflection that we just considered. But there's a theme here. Maybe this is the Holy Spirit's word to all of us today. Mother continues this reflection and says, have you ever just been so distressed and so discouraged and someone calls you up and says, hey, I'm a little worried about you. Is there something I can do? When they do that, don't you feel kind of a warming inside? Well, that's healing. It has taken something that is disagreeable, something very painful, and poured love and compassion and concern on top. I think sometimes that you and I do not understand how powerful Jesus has made us. By the divine indwelling of the Holy Trinity, you have the power of Jesus to heal your broken brother. And you cannot excuse yourself by going on saying, I do not have the gift of healing. You have the gift of loving, the gift of listening, the gift of understanding. And then she goes on a little later in this reflection and she says, we are in constant need of healing. The person who says, I have no need of healing, has not the slightest idea what he's talking about. I would worry about somebody like that. I mean, you could be the healthiest person in the world and be so sick in your soul or even dead in it. There are many living corpses walking around. What does that mean? It means that inside, you're dead. Your soul is dead. You look alive. You have hands that move and feel and touch. But because you have not healed or refused to be healed by the compassionate and merciful Lord, you walk around as though dead, like whitened sepulchres filled with dead men's bones. I mean, look at the gentle Jesus today. What does he say? What do his apostles say? And then she goes on and she talks about the way in which the Lord heals us. And she says this about herself. So you and I must exercise our healing powers. Exercise them and know that the touch of your hand is healing. To lift up a brother in the gutter. To listen to the same story 100 times. To smile when you're in pain. To keep going when it's so very, very difficult. To keep trusting. All of these moments are beautiful healing times in your life. She recounts now a personal experience. One time, I really had some problems and anxieties and frustrations about walking down the streets. A woman came with her little kid who had blonde hair and blue eyes. And that child stopped and looked at me and smiled. I have never forgotten it because I found Jesus in that smile. I knew the Lord made that child smile at me and say, Angelica, it's okay. I'm with you. I'll never let you down. And then Mother offers this prayer. Lord God, Sovereign Lord, we praise you and bless you, and we acknowledge our nothingness before you, and we ask for your mercy. We ask that you give us a share in your healing power, the power of love, the power of mercy, and the gift of having a forgiving spirit, so that we may heal our brother whom we have offended or who has offended us. Heal them and bring them home. We asked forgiveness for all our sins. In asking for forgiveness, we are healed. And by your Son's words, we have all been healed and brought back to your kingdom. We ask these good things through the intercession of Mary, our Holy Mother, in the name of Jesus, who is Lord of all. Amen. Golly. I don't know about you, but I would like to copy that, and maybe I will. It's a beautiful prayer. Maybe a prayer that we should say every day, right? Because it's a funny thing about this gift of healing. As Mother says, we all have it. It comes with us by way of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive at baptism and that are reinforced in us through confirmation. Now, some people will have a special gift of healing. God will use them in a ministry or an apostolate of healing. Not all of us have that gift. But God will use us, every one of us, to heal someone. And as Mother suggests so beautifully in this reflection, it comes by way of what we heard earlier on in the parable of the sower. It comes by way of us communicating the love of Jesus by understanding, by compassion, by example, by word, by deed. Who knows but that your smile is the only smile that a person receives on a given day? Who knows that you might not be just like that little child that Mother met in the street? Who knows that your smile might be Christ smiling at that person through you, and that something is healed in that person. We might never know about it. We're probably better off if we don't know about it. But the fact of the matter is, we're all called to be those healers. Now, all of us need healing, as Mother says. All of us have been scathed by the difficulties and trials of the world in which we live, by the way in which we were raised. You heard that brief sketch of Mother's life that I offered you earlier on. Mother came from a very dysfunctional family. In her day and time, a divorced family was most unusual. In our day and time, it's most common. And we know that this affected Mother, and we know that divorce affects children. We know that mentally ill members of the family have an effect on children. We know children that are abandoned by their fathers experience that sense of abandonment deeply. We know that oftentimes moms left on their own are so harried and so frazzled and so caught up on what needs to be done for the children in a practical way that the children miss the gift of the presence of the mom. We know that that's the way of the world today. And many of us have experienced it, and many of us, even though we have the very best of intentions oftentimes, without any kind of desire, quite inadvertently inflict a wound upon a child's heart. We're wounded healers. And it's from the very wounds that we've experienced in life that there is a way that's made in us, an opening in our own heart for our Lord to come and fill us with His love and His mercy and His compassion. Not that we become hoarders of it, rather, but that instead, that wound of our heart, filled with the mercy of God, becomes a font of mercy that overflows into the lives of others through the small acts that we move upon every day in our lives. So, you know, why don't we just take that beautiful prayer of Mother Angelica's and allow the Lord to work that prayer into us, to acknowledge the fact that we are wounded, but we're called to be healed. We are wounded, but we're called to be healers. And we are just the people that God's raising up at this moment in the history of man, so torn apart as it is, by all kinds of social and political and spiritual maladies. We're just those persons who can be that little child in the street that through a smile, through a prayer, through what seems to be a chance occurrence that's really a planned occurrence by God, someone can encounter Christ in us. That would be the very best thing that we could possibly do, not just for ourselves, but for others too. And I have one other that I would like to share with you. And this is in, let me see what chapter number this is. This is chapter 18, and it's entitled More Repentance. Mother speaks about repentance earlier on, but this is More Repentance. And she begins it really by leading us, she shares with us a wee bit, but then she leads us into a litany on the blood of Christ, the precious blood. And this is what we're given here. It says, the litany of the precious blood. Mother says, I think sometimes we forget, perhaps as Catholics anyway, to ask the Lord, ask the Spirit, to let the precious blood pour upon us. That's what happens at confession. The sacrament of reconciliation. The precious blood of Jesus pours upon us. That's what happens in the Eucharist. The precious blood of Jesus is received into your own body and blood. And I think that sometimes we do not call upon the precious blood as a protection, especially in this day of evil, and with the enemy being so strong in so many ways in society and in families. Let's take that word now. And as we come to the close of the program, let's think about that. That the precious blood of Jesus can be called down upon us through the sacraments, but also through our prayer. And we can become those healers, those signs and witnesses in this, our day and time. Well, from all of us here, we wish you a happy birthday, Mother Angelica. God bless all of you. Bye-bye now.